Julie O'Hara is a freelance food and travel writer and has a blog called A Mingling of Tastes. She has written a piece for Kitchen Window Online about the wondrous foods she ate in Southeast Asia and how she's recreated them at home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She joins me today from member station WLRN. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Bonnie.
So you've written a piece for Kitchen Window Online about this trip you took and recreating these foods back home. Do you do that a lot when you travel?
Yeah. My favorite thing to do when I travel is to eat the food, even more than going to museums. And I love art. I love to see art museums when I travel. But even more than that, the food to me is, you know, a truly authentic experience. And it's something that you can't replicate exactly back home.
Where were you in Southeast Asia?
Well, we started off in Singapore, and then we went on to Bangkok, and then to Vietnam, where we were in Ho Chi Minh City and Nha Trang.
Wow. Was there a country where you thought the food was best?
Vietnam, absolutely.
And why? What was it about the Vietnamese food that stood out?
I think we had a higher ratio of good quality meals. You know, in Thailand, it was very spotty. Sometimes you'd have a great noodle dish, and sometimes it would just be dripping with oil and, you know, not so hot. But in Vietnam, I thought it was good quality, and I love the subtlety of the flavor. The lemongrass, the shallots, the garlic, the mint. It's very aromatic and subtle, not as reliant on chilies and spices, you know, hot spices.
Right. Had you eaten a lot of Vietnamese food in the United States before you went?
Not enough. I've had pho, you know, the noodle soup and, you know, the Vietnamese spring rolls, but not really.
Talk about pho a little bit. That is a common dish served in the U.S.
Yeah, in Vietnam, it's, you know, one of the major, you know, national dishes, and it's kind of like their chicken soup, at least in my opinion. It's this long simmered stock made usually with, you know, a very flavorful cut of beef. And so you make the stock over days and days, and it's flavored with cloves and other spices like that. And then when it's served with noodles, and you get this huge plate of fresh herbs like lime leaves, cilantro, mint, basil, bean sprouts, and you can flavor your soup with all those herbs to your liking. It's wonderful.
How did you find the restaurants that you went to?
A combination of a lot of things. Some of it was just serendipity, you know, kind of what looks good. Do you see a lot of local people there? Does it look like the cooks know what they're doing and turn out the meals really quickly and freshly? We also just used guidebooks, like our Lonely Planet guidebook. It was really helpful, actually, in finding a lot of places. That's mostly how we did it.
Uh-huh. How did you do with the language?
You know, a lot of people know English, especially in the city. Like in Bangkok, a lot of Thais know at least rudimentary English. And then in Vietnam, tourism is such a major industry there that, at least in the city, a lot of people will have some English. So it's not that bad. And, you know, occasionally you'll encounter a restaurant you want to eat at and the menu's totally in another language. And you kind of just point at the table next to you and you say, I want what he's eating. And, you know, it's an adventure. So.
Did you talk to the waiters or the owners about how the foods were cooked and get some insight into the cuisine?
I would often try to ask. Sometimes there was a little language barrier, but like in one restaurant in Bangkok, I had this amazing Thai green curry. It's a curry made with coconut milk and, you know, either shrimp or chicken and a lot of vegetables, and I loved it. It's one of those, you know, common Thai dishes. You know, you'll see it here in Thai restaurants, but it looked so different to me and it tasted so good and authentic. I wanted to know what was in it, and these vegetables were floating around in the curry that looked like giant peas. And I asked the waiter what they were, and he said they were eggplant, and I thought he just didn't understand me, but he assured me that no, these were little miniature Asian eggplants, and I was so upset because I knew I could never find these again in the States, and it was tragic to me that I'd never be able to eat that green curry the way it tasted in Bangkok.
Have you tried to recreate that dish in the States?
I have, and what you really just need to do is find a good curry paste. And if you go to some Asian grocery stores, you know, look for the stuff that's imported from Thailand. Usually it comes in a little can. And once you've got that, I mean, that's all your flavor. You mix it with some coconut milk, you add chicken, you know, and you can use Asian eggplants. You know, they're not quite the same, but they're still very good. And, you know, you're pretty much set once you have that curry paste.
Was it hard to replicate some of the dishes that you wanted to copy when you got home?
Yes, some were a lot harder. I fell in love with the clay pot stews that they would make in Vietnam. And my husband and I started to say, like, if something comes in a clay pot, it's going to be delicious. Order it. So they make these stews, and there's this balance of sweet and pungent in the broth, and it's just wonderful, you know, slowly simmered in the oven. And I ate as many of them as I could so I could come home and see if I could replicate the flavor. And, you know, I tried several times at home, and I finally, you know, found a good balance that I think really tastes like the stews I remember. And you have to use fish sauce, but balance it with sugar. And I also recently learned that they use caramel syrup a lot in Vietnamese cuisine. And that's just, you know, make a caramel with sugar and water, you know, simmer it until it caramelizes. And that gives that richness and a little more sweetness. So, you know, that's kind of a French technique, actually, that the Vietnamese picked up when they were a French colony.
Did you see a lot of French influence in the food you ate in Vietnam?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's the caramel syrup. You see baguettes. On the street, vendors sell baguette sandwiches. And, you know, that's absolutely a direct carryover from the French. And you can order wine in restaurants in Vietnam, whereas in Thailand, you'd have to be in an Americanized restaurant to get a good bottle of wine. It's very hard to find wine in Thailand. But in Vietnam, you get French wine almost everywhere.
Isn't that interesting? And what do you get in Thailand? Beer?
Beer, absolutely. And that's what you want to drink with those hot dishes anyway.
Sure, absolutely. Did you eat things that were new to you?
Yeah, all over the place. And something new that I never had before was one of my favorite meals from our trip. It was in Singapore, and it was at the East Coast Seafood Center, which is this kind of massive park on, you know, the east coast of the island. Singapore is just a really huge island, city on an island. And you get this whole crab, and they smother it with either your choice of chili sauce or black pepper sauce. And the really famous one is the chili sauce. And, you know, you just get this huge crab in a dish covered in sauce. So it's like, don't wear a white shirt, you know, cover yourself in a garbage bag. You're going to get sauce all over you. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And that one's kind of sweet, but I loved the black pepper one. And you think it's going to almost hurt to eat that much black pepper. You can see the black chunks in the sauce, but it's wonderful. It lets you really appreciate how subtle and flavorful of a spice that pepper really is.
Was the food in Singapore distinctive?
Yes. Singapore, I think, is a great gastronomical destination, actually. It's a melting pot of Chinese, Indian, Malaysian, and native Singaporeans, and they all bring their food together in this tiny little city-state, you know? And so you go to a hawker center, and that's where everybody eats in Singapore. Even the locals, they don't cook so much in their little apartments because they can go to a hawker center, which is kind of like a big outdoor food court. And, you know, the hawkers are the individual cooks that have stalls, and they sell their specialty dishes. But, you know, the quality is excellent, and it's very inexpensive. And when you're traveling in Asia, people, you know, sometimes want to warn you about eating street vendor food. But in Singapore, the hawker centers are all regulated by the government, and they have, you know, safety health standards that they have to live up to. And, you know, everything in Singapore is very closely regulated. It's very clean. It's very safe. And the same goes for the food. So it's a no-risk situation.
Have you found, since you came back from this trip, that you're doing more Southeast Asian cooking?
Yes, definitely. When we first got back to the States, all we wanted to eat was hamburgers. It was ridiculous. But that lasted for only about a week. And then we wanted those flavors again, you know, those aromatic flavors and the spices. I mean, I like medium spicy food. My husband likes really spicy food. And I've developed an even greater taste and a craving for the hot chilies. I love it.
Julie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, Bonnie. I really enjoyed it.